Today's shir is Masechta Pesachim Daf Tzadik Dalet. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph at the fifth line. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara continues to discuss who and when is someone considered a Derech Rechaika that he doesn't have to bring Pesach Rishon. Tanur Rabbanan, Hayu Oimed Chutz LeMedim, if somebody was standing outside of Medim, that is the distance according to Rabbi Kiva where you are considered so if by regular walking he could enter Yerushalayim, but he could only get there if he rides on horses or on mules, so I would say that maybe the Torah requires that he should attempt to enter Yerushalayim that way, that he should be able to be mechuyev in the Karan Pesach. Who is obligated to bring a Karan Pesach at the proper time? Someone who is in the classification of Derech Lehoyo. But if somebody is in the classification of being B'derech, he is not obligated to go out of his way to bring the Karan Pesach. For Allah, and this individual is B'derech, Hoya B'derech, and therefore, if he doesn't bring the Karan Pesach in the proper time, he will not be Chayiv Karas. That means, as the Shalos Teshuvos Rav Pa'olim explains the Gemara, the only person who's not considered to be in the category of B'derech is such an individual who could get to Yerushalayim by walking in a normal fashion. But if he cannot arrive to Yerushalayim by walking in the normal fashion, he is considered to be in the category of B'derech. The Hayu Oimel Lefnei Menadim, continues the Gemara, if somebody was standing within the area of Medim to Yerushalayim, v'eni yukonis, however, he can't enter Yerushalayim, nay gemalim ukronis hamakvas esai. There are all different types of obstructions in the road that prevent him from being able to enter Yerushalayim. Yochel lo yechayiv, we should think that he's not chayiv koris, because he's an honest. It was beyond his control. Tamaloymar, the only exemption we give if somebody who is b'derech, he's not b'derech. Since he's not in the category of being b'derech, he has to bring the Karman Pesach. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is referring to such an individual who, if he's traveling with his family, and because he's traveling with his family, that's what's preventing him from being able to enter Yerushalayim in a timely fashion. But were he to travel without his family, he would be able to enter Yerushalayim properly, and therefore he can't be considered in the category of someone who's derech. The Rambam explains that although the Gemara is taking a very strict approach to this individual, that he didn't bring the Karman Pesach because of this obstruction in the road, but if he will bring the Karman Pesach Sheni, even though we learned in our previous year that maybe a person who misses Pesach Rishon is according to Rabbi Chayiv Kares no matter what, this individual who had this obstruction in the road, that much of an onus will give him that if he makes up the Karman Pesach by Pesach Sheni, he'll be considered that he brought the Karan Pesach properly and will not be Chayiv Karas. Our Gemara over here discusses what is considered a norm B'derech, what is not considered B'derech. And the question here is that as we started the share today, if somebody is standing outside of the area of Maidim, so then he's considered B'derech. But the question that many Paiskim discuss is, yes, if he's going to walk, he can't make it to Yerushalayim. But if he's going to go in those days on a horse, and nowadays in a car, he can make it. When the halacha looks at such an individual, whenever the halacha speaks about a shir, or being away from a place, is it dependent on a distance, or is it dependent on a travel time? For example, the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Simen Kuf Samach Gimel Sif Aleph tells us that if somebody doesn't have water in the direction that he's traveling for more than 4 milim, or in the opposite from where he's traveling a mil, The halacha is, and he wants to eat bread, and of course, before you eat bread, you have to wash your hand, natilas yadayim. The halacha is that he could just wrap his hand in something and be able to eat without actually washing. So the question is, a mil, and we're going to discuss this in Mitzvah Shem in our shir, is typically the amount, it takes about 18 minutes to travel. 4 mil is 72 minutes. So when we talk about 18 minutes, or we talk about a mil, or we talk about dalad milim, is it measured in a distance, or is it measured in a time? And therefore the time would be, you would have to go in the opposite direction for where you're traveling. You would have to go up to 18 minutes to try to find water. If it's in the direction in which you are traveling, you would have to travel up to 72 minutes. So most poskim are of the opinion that it's not dependent on a distance, it's dependent on an amount of time. However, I did see that many poskim are of the opinion that even though in other areas of halacha we connect this to a amount of time and not to a physical distance, when it comes to Pesach, when it comes to what we're discussing in our shir, when or when not are you considered b'derech rechayka, there the shir is dependent on a distance. And if you are away from Yerushalayim, the distance of Dalet Parsos, then you are, if you are away from Yerushalayim, the distance of Maidim, then you are considered b'derech rechayka, no matter how quickly you could get to Yerushalayim or not. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, based on what we've learned in the previous year, and that's how the Gimel on the Beis, that the amount of time one can, the amount of distance one can travel from Alois HaShachar until Tzeis Kechavim, from the Alois HaShachar until the Tzeis Kechavim, the Gemara extrapolates Amar Rava Shita Alfa Parsa Hava Alma. The distance of the entire world, the area of the entire world is 6,000 parsa. The sumcha de rakia and the thickness of the rakia, the thickness of the sky, which the sun has to penetrate when it goes, when it sets and comes up, is the shear of alpha parsa, 12,000 parsa. Before, or as we begin learning the shear, the Gemara, as it's going to become quite clear on Amud Beis, says there was a machloikus of the Chachmei Yisrael and the Chachmei Umas HaOlam on how the world operates. The Chachmei Yisrael are of the opinion are that the globe is the globe of the world stands still, and it's the sun and the constellations, the mazalas, that are constantly traveling. And the Chachmei Umas HaOlam felt that it's the sun that's stationary and it's the globe on its axis that constantly are in movement. Another machloikus between the Chachmei Yisrael and the Chachmei Umas HaOlam, where the Chachmei Yisrael believed that during the day the sun goes under the sky and at night it goes above the sky. And the Chachmei Umas HaOlam believed that the sun during the day goes below the sky, and at night it goes under the earth. Even though scientifically it has clearly been proven that the approach of the Chachmei Umas HaOlam is much more in sync with the way we see that the world really operates, as the Maral explains, we are not to look at this machloikus in the physical sense, the way scientists look at this machloikus, but the way explains the Maral to look at this machlokes is really that this is all pnimius haTorah. It's the secrets of the Torah. This machlokes should not be understood in a very superficial manner. We will attempt to learn the Gemara in the way we could explain the Gemara. So the Gemara began that the size of the horizon is 6,000 amos wide, and the depth, the thickness of the sky is 1,000 parsoi. It says the Gemara, Chada, one of these halachas was learned through a Gemara, something that he learned from his Rebbe. The fact that he just said that the world is 6,000 parsa. The Chada, And that he said that the rikia, the depth of the rikia, the over rikia, is el parsa, he figured out logically. Says the Gemara, the way he was able to establish that was savla kihadam rabba b'chanam rabbi Yochanan, going back to what we learned in our previous year, the kamahal mahalach odam b'neini b'yoyim. What is the distance an average person could travel on a regular day? And as we explained in our previous year, the definition of a regular day are the days of Nisan and Tishrei, where there are 12 hours to the day and 12 hours to the night. So the Gemara says you could travel in a day Eser Pasos, which are 40 mil. And the Gemara explained, from the Alois HaShachar to the Netzach Chama, you could travel Chomesh Milen. And from the Shkia Sacham and Tzeitzke Chavim, you could travel another Chamesh Milim, 5 plus 5 equal 10. And we think about these time, that's when the sun is going into the depths of the sky. It's going into the sky in the morning when it's coming up. It's traveling through the sky in the morning when it becomes visible, and it travels through the sky at night when it goes above the sky, as we just explained, that was the opinion of the Chachmei Yisrael, when it becomes invisible. So if that is the time, Nimtza explains the Gemara of Yishol Rekia, the depth of the sky is Echem Eshish B'yoyim, is the time of traveling from Netz HaCham to Shkia. We just said a moment ago, that the amount that one could travel in the entire day, again, from Alois HaShachar to Tzeitzke Chavim, is 40 mil. And we also deduct 10 mil, 5 for the time from Alois HaShachar to the Netz HaChama, and 5 for the time from the Shkia to the Tzeitzke Chavim. So we're left with 30. So we take the 5 mil that the sun travels from the Alois to the Netz, or from the Shkia to the Tzeis, shows us that 5 to 30 is a ratio of 1 to 6. So we see from here that the Oivei Rikia is a sixth of the world, so if the entire world is 30 mil, and then this is going to be 5 mil, it's a sixth. So that's how it came that if the world is 6,000 parsa, which he had a Gemara, which he had a Kabbalah from his Rebbe, so then if the time of the Oivei Rikia is a sixth of that, so a sixth of 6,000 is going to be 1,000. The Gra, based on this Gemara, explains a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, when the Slav came down in the Midbar, the Pasuk says, V'yokam ha'om kol ha'yoyim ahu v'chol ha'layla v'chol yoyim ha'mokras v'yosu as ha'slav ha'mamet asaf as ha'chamarim. So he says that we know that the area of the Machne Yisrael was 3 pasos. We also just learned in the Gemara that a person travels 10 parsos, a regular person travels 10 parsos a day. The Slav fell right outside of the Machna, and they collected it 3 times a day, in the day, in the night, and the next day. So if a person lived in the middle of the Machna, he had to walk all the way to the end of the Machna. So in these 3 times, he could walk. If we just said you could walk 10 parsos a day, he could walk 3 times 10, he could walk 10 times 3, that's 30, during that time. And he could carry what he needs. So the Gemara is saying that the person who walked furthest from the mon went 10 times. So that was Hamamet Osof Esachamara. The person who lived the most distance from the Slav was able to go 3 times 10. The person who lived further, he could walk, so it's less walking, and if it's less walking, he could carry even more Slav home. Meisvei asked the Gemara, there's another Braisa. The Braisa says, that here the Braisa says that the depth of the Rikia is not a sixth of the world, as we just learned, but rather here it says that of Yishol Rikia is Echem Asara B'yoyim, is a tenth, Teda. And the Gemara explains it this way. Kam Mahalach Odna B'neini B'yoyim, how much does a person travel from the Alois to the Tzeis? Esa Pasos, 40 mil. But here the Gemara, unlike what we just learned previously, says that the distance you travel from Alois Shachar to the Netzach Chama is Abbas Milim, is 4 mil. Mishkiyas Achama Tzeis Kechavim is another 4 mil. Nimtzis, so that's 4 in the morning and 4 in the evening, the time where the sun goes through the depth of the Rikia when it comes up or it goes down. Nimtzis of Yishol Rikia, so it turns out that the relationship is 4 to 32. 4 to 32 is a tenth. Now, of course, this is a very difficult Gemara, because here the Gemara says that it's a tenth, but it's really a relationship of 4 to 32, which is really an eighth. And that's why the Mefarshim are very troubled, and many Rishonim say that that could have been one of the questions that the Gemara asked. The Mefarshim do try to explain, how do we get to the number of a tenth? Because we're saying that the amount of time that the distance of the Ov Yishol Rikia, based on this understanding, is 4 pasah, and we're saying that the time or the distance that one can travel from the Lois HaShachar is 40 pasah, so 40 parsah, so the relationship of 4 to 40 is a tenth. Nimtzis Ov Yishol Rikia Echad Mesar B'yoyim, Tifta the Rava, but this isn't different than Rava, that Rava said that the amount of time from the Netz to the Shkia is not 32, but it's rather 30. Tiyofta the Ula, Ula said in the previous year that the amount of time you travel from the amount of distance you travel from the Netz to the Shkia is 30 mil, and here we see that's actually 32 mil. Indeed, says the Gemara, this Braisa Tiyofta is a refutation both on the opinion of Rava and Ula. So we just explained that Ula and Rava say that the distance you could travel from the Netz to the Shkia is 30 mil, and Rabbi Yochanan holds that the amount you travel in a day is 10 parsah, which is 40 mil. Ask the Gemara, Leimatev to Yusuf Rabbi Yochanan, that the Braisa that we just quoted from Rabbi Huda should also be a refutation on the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, he says a person travels from the Shkia to the Tzeis Kechavim 5 mil, from the Alois to the Netz 5 mil, and here it says you only travel 4 mil. Amma Lach, so Rabbi Yochanan, Anam B'yamama Hademarit. When I said every day a person travels from the Alois to Shach to the Tzeis Kechavim 10 pasos, I didn't say how much he travels from the Alois to the Netz, or from the Shkia to the Tzeis. Rabbanan Huda Katal, the Rabbanan made a mistake. In other words, I really, says Rabbi Yochanan, agree with Rabbi Huda, that the entire distance that could be traversed in that time is really only 4 mil. The Rabbanan made a mistake, because with the Rabbanan who said that you could travel 5 mil, they were referring to individuals that the kadma v'chashaycha. They're talking about people who get up early or work late. So they don't get up. They don't start traveling by alois. They already begin traveling before alois. Or when it comes to the night, they continue traveling past the tzeis, and that's why they get a distance of 5 mil. But if you want to measure the amount that can be traversed just from the Alois to the Netz, or just from the Shkia to the Tzeis Kechavim, it's indeed only 4 mil, and I am not necessarily disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda. So it says the Trumas Hadeshin, that according to Rashi's interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda, that you travel 40 mil from the Alois HaShachar to the Tzeis Kechavim, says the Trumas Hadeshin, that the 12 hours, which is the amount of time, as we started the shiur, of an average day from the day is 12 hours from Eloisa Shachat Tzeitz Kechavim, then we could extrapolate that whenever we speak, which we spoke about as recently as the beginning, at the beginning of our shiur today, we speak about the amount of time it takes to walk a mill, we'll say it's 18 minutes. Because the 40 mil from the Aloysa Shach until the Tzeis Kechavim, which are divided by 12 hours, 12 hours is 720 minutes. So according to the Truma Sedeshin, and that is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim Simen Tuf Nun Tes Sif Beis, the shear of a mill is 18 minutes. The Gra over there in Simen Tuf Nun Tes Ois Hei says that when we measure the average day, we don't look at from the Alois to the Tzeis, rather we look from the Netz to the Shkia. So it turns out, according to the Gra, the time that each mill takes is not 18 minutes, but rather it's 22 and a half minutes. Because, as we just said, you travel 32 mil from the Netz to the Shkia, and we divide the 32 mil amongst 12 hours, you're going to come out with 22 and a half minutes. And then there's a third shita that says that the shear of each mill is 24 minutes. So in our previous shear, the Gemara said that the amount of time, the Gemara brought a raya, that the distance from the Netz Achama to the, from the Alois HaShach to the Netz is 5 mil. So ask the Gemara, here we're saying that it's 4 mil. So yesterday, Reb Chanina said that it was 5 mil. Ask the Gemara, Leimet Hevet to Yufta Reb Chanina, should we say that our Braisa, where we quoted Reb Yehuda, that says that it's 4 mil, is difficult on what Reb Chanina said in our previous year, that he saw that the distance from where Stoim, where light was, till Tzoyar was a distance of 5 mil, and we prove from the Pasuk that when the Malachim saved light, they took him at the Alois from Sdoim and then brought him by the Nates till Tzoyar, and we see it's a distance of 5 mil. Says the Gemara, Loi. We can't bring a Rai from that episode. But says the Gemara, because there is V'yitzu. The Pasuk says, V'yitzu ha-Malachim b'Loit. They pushed him. That means normally you could only walk the distance of 4 mil from the Alois HaShachar to the Nates. That Loit was able to travel 5 mil was because he was walking very quickly because the Malachim were pushing him, the Malachim were encouraging him to walk quickly to get away from Stoim. But that can't become the model for Kol HaTorah Kula. Toshma, the Gemara asks a different question on the opinion of Rava. And as I saw the Mefarshim point out, that even though, as we said a moment ago, the opinion of Rava has already been refuted, why did the Gemara have to again try to refute Rava's opinion? So Mefarshim explained that in case we'll be able to find an answer on that question, and therefore Rava will presumably be able to come back to his position by bringing another Braisa, which refutes his opinion, what that leads us to is that even if you can answer the first question, but now there's another question that we have. The Braisa says, Mitzrayim, Hoysa Abamei Parsal Abamei Parsal. Mitzrayim took up an area of 400 Parsal by 400 Parsal. And Mitzrayim, Echad Meshishim Kush. And Mitzrayim is a 60th of Kush, and that means Kush is 60 times bigger than Mitzrayim. The Kush echad meshishim ba'olam, and the world is 60 times larger than Kush. Olam, the world is echad meshishim began. The world is a 60th of the Gan. The Gan echad meshishim began min Edom. The two separate pasukim, the two separate places, as the pasuk says in Parashat Bereishis, the nor yotz me Edom lahashkis is a Gan. So we see from here that there's a place called Gan, and there's a place called Eden. So it says the Gemara, that the Gan is Ech B'Shishim B'Eden, the Gan is a 60th of the size of Eden, the Eden is a Shishim of Gehenim, is a 60th of Gehenim, Nimtza Kol Olam Kuloi, that the entire world is meaningless, it's just like Kikisi Kuloi Gehenim, it's just like a covering to the pot Gehenna. So we see that for how small the world is. So Mefarshim ask that we know that Gedolim mida tovim mida pranius, that good is better than bad. And here we're seeing that Gehenna, which it represents, of course, pranius, which means punishment, is much larger than the whole world. So the Sefer Ein HaBadoloyach gives two answers. One answer is that Gehenna is really not considered a bad place. The Gehenna is a place where people who did Averos could have Tahara. So that doesn't represent bad. It actually represents good. Another pshat that I saw is that if Gehenna was smaller, then it would be the heat of Gehenna would be much more concentrated. And if the heat of Gehenna would be much more concentrated, it would be impossible to withstand Gehenna. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and made Gehenna such a large area, he was actually doing a tremendous favor that it shouldn't be so fat, hot. I saw that the Ein Yaakov explains, why is the Eden a 60th of Gehenna? That we want that everything should become bittul in Gehenna. We know that the sheer bittul, whenever we speak about bittul, we speak about a ratio of 60 to 1. What we're trying to accomplish here is that anything that falls into Gehenna should become bittul, should become totally insignificant. And by becoming totally insignificant, it won't have any more kiyum, it will no longer have an existence. But what we just learned in this brisa, that it's difficult to agree to what we began our shiur with today, saying that the world is only 6,000 parsa. Because we just saw how much larger the world must be based on the formula explained in the brisa. And says the Gemara, Tiyufta, indeed this is another proof that Rava's position that the world is 6,000 parsa is refuted. So the Gemara brings another question on Rava. Toshma, the Tanit Be'el Yol, Rav Nosson Omer, Kala the Machlokes, if the Tanit Be'el Yol means that these were brises that were taught by Eliyahu HaNavi, or does the Tana by Eliyahu mean that there was a Tana whose name was Eliyahu who taught us these brises? So says the Gemara, Tana by Eliyahu, we learned in Toshma the Tana by Eliyahu, Rav Nosson Omer, Kala Yeshiv Kulai, the entire world where people inhabit, Tachas Koichet Achad Yeshiv, sits under one star. Teda, what's the proof? You could be sitting and looking just at one spot in the sky, at one star in the sky, and if you hailech lemizrach and you keep on walking to the east side, you'll still see that star in that spot. I'm a kenegdoi. Or you go, says the Gemara, l'aber ruchas oilem, in any one of the four corners of the world, four sides of the world, I'm a kenegdoi, you'll still be under the star. B'chlal, the kala yishiv kulai, that the entire world is only under one star. So we see that the entire world is under one star, and this, there are countless stars in the sky. If one star could hold the entire Yishuv, then if there's so many stars, it must be that the world is very large, Tiyufta. So our Gemara here speaks about the Koichev, the world is under this one scar. So the pasuk says, in beginning of Parshas Shemois, the pasuk says, "Ve'elu Shemois b'nei Yisrael abayim mitzrayimim." And Rashi says, "Api Shemana b'chayim," even though the Torah counts us once, "Chaza umana," when we were counted the b'nei Yisrael when they were alive, "Chaza umana b'misasam," the Torah counts them again after they pass away, to show how beloved they are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shenim shalu k'chachavim. So all the Mefarshim ask, what does it mean, shenim shalu k'chachavim? So I saw that the Sefer Avnei Zakarin says it's connected to our Gemara. But our Gemara just said, Reb Nosson Omer, kol ha-yishiv kulei tachas koichav echad hu oimid. So what do we see? That one star, the whole world corresponds to one star. The Gemara Masechta Yuma, Daf Lamed Ches Amabeis, teaches us, Vamer Belozer, Afilu b'shvil tzaddik echad, just for one tzaddik oilam nivra. So that's pshat. And in Amar b'chibar, Abba continues the Gemara, Amar b'yochanan, afilu b'shvil tzaddik echad, just for one tzaddik oilam eskaim, the world exists. Shnemar, as the pasuk says in Mishlei, v'tzaddik yisoid oilam. So just like, explains the Sefer Avnei Zekorim, one star could bring the world to existence. One tzaddik could bring the world to existence. Now we understand when Rashi says the Klal Yisrael is nimshul l'kechavim. Just like the kechavim, one star brings existence to the world, every one single Jew is so important to the existence of the world. Amech kulam tzaddikim, Klal Yisrael is a nation of tzaddikim, and these tzaddikim bring hashpos toivus to the world. And I saw, in fact, that the Gra in the Sefer Ein Eliyahu, he says every star serves a very specific purpose. The pasuk says in Tehillim, "Mina mispil kechovim lechulam shemus yikra gola anein v'rav koyach." Hakadosh Baruch Hu created these countless stars, and each star got its own specific name because each star brings a special bracha to the world. So that's what David HaMelech says in Tehillim. If you want to see the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mayna Mispil Kechavim, look up at the sky, look up at the stars, L'chulam Shemus Yikra, you'll see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created such an incredible universe with all of these stars, with every single star serving a very unique purpose. That's a raya, Ki Godl Adonainu Rav Koyach L'Sfunasoi E Mispar. And I saw that the Sifrei Musar explain that just like each star gives off illumination, each individual has incredible potential to give off to individuals. And I saw that the Sefer Chelek Alevi says, particularly when we speak about this, when we speak about this ability to give off illumination, it is first particularly to people who teach Talmidim Torah. Just like the stars are mashpia on the world, and that brings a kiyum to the world, that brings existence to the world, those who teach Torah to Talmidim are the ones that bring Hashpa's Toivus to Klal Yisrael. The Gemara asks another question on what Rava began our shiur with. Toshma, the stars are made into different constellations, different shapes. The tzofen, the stars that look like an egla, like a calf, are always betzofen, are always on the north side of the world. V'akrav, and the stars that are shaped like an akrav are always on the south sides, are always on the south side of the world. These are the constellations, the zodiac, the Akra, the Egla is the Taurus, and the Akrav is the Scorpio. So the Egla is always to the north of the world, and the Akrav is always to the south of the world. The Kol HaYishuv Kulay, and the entire inhabited area of the world, Eina Yishuv Ela Ben Egla L'Akrav, exists between these two constellations. Zodiacs. The Kol HaYishuv Kulay, the area where people live, Eina Haiva Al Shachs B'Yoyim. The 12 zodiacs travel during the 12 hours of the day, and this area represents 1/12. Shein Cham Nechnasas LeYishuv, because if we look at the sun only is on top of our heads for 1 hour of the day. Teda, says the Gemara Raya, Shebechamesh, in the 5th hour of the day, Chama is b'mizrach on the east side. B'sheva, on the 7th hour of the day, it's already Chama b'marav on the west side. B'chatzi sheish v'chatzi sheva, from half into the 6th hour to half into the 7th hour, that's Chama Rosh Kol Adam. So we see that the area that's inhabited in the world, only that where the sun prevails, is only for an hour of the day. So if the world is only a 12th of the entire world, we can't say that the world is only a six is only 6,000 parsa to yufta. Tashma, Damer Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Mat Shiva Shivasa Bas Kol Oisu Rosha. Nebuchadnezzar, the Rosha, made the following announcement. B'shosh Amar, when Nebuchadnezzar said, Ella Bumsi Av, he said, I can't live in this world. I'm going to go on a cloud, and that's how I'm going to travel all the way up to the top of the world, to the top of the sky. Admal Elyon, I'm going to be similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who resides in the Shemei Shemayim. Yotza Baskov Amrloi. So Baskov said to Nebuchadnezzar, Rosha ben Rosha, you horrible Rosha, ben benoi shel Nimrod HaRosha. You're a descendant of Nimrod HaRosha. Rashi says that he wasn't really a direct descendant. He was a descendant in the manner that he lived, that he tried to rebel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tosfos in Masechta Chagiga, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, disagrees, and he says that he was a descendant. And we know that the Nimrod was the Melech Bavel, and the Pasuk teaches us in Parshas Noach, Vati Reishis Mamlachtoi Bavel, and he tried to get the entire world to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the time of Dor HaFloga, where he tried to convince them to build this tower where they'll hold battle against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Masechta Erevin, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, quotes a machloikis of Rav and Shmuel. What was his real name? One man says that his real name was Nimrod, but he was also called Amraphel because Sheomar v'Hippel Avram Avinu b'Toich Kishu v'Eish, because he was the one that threw Avram Avinu into the furnace of fire. Or the other man holds that his real name was Amraphel, and he was called Nimrod, as our Gemara just says, because he tried to get the world to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, so they said to Nebuchadnezzar, Kamish Naisu Shalodam, how long does a person typically live? Shivim Shana, 70 years. And if he's lucky, Vim Begvurais, Shmoinim Shana, he'll live 80 years. Shinema, as the Pasuk says in Telem, Yemeshina Sembem Shim Shana, Vim Gemurais, Shmoinim Shana. So they said to him, in Aretz Alarikia, the amount of time it takes to travel from the earth to the Rikia, to the first Rikia, there are seven Rikias: Vilon, Rikia, Shchokim, Zvul, Ma'oin, Mechoin, Aravois, as the Gemara Masat Chagiga, Daf Yudbeis Amud Beis teaches us. So he says, the amount of time to go till the first Rikia is 500 hours, 500 years. Vavisha Rikia, and to travel through that Rikia is Mahalach Chamesh Me'eshana. And then, Ben Rikia L'Rikia, to travel from one Rikia to another Rikia, is all Mahalach Chamesh Me'eshana. Or Ben Kol Rikia Rikia, to travel through every Rikia is 500 years, and to travel between the seven Rikias is 500 years. And there's no one that lives that long. And therefore, they said to Nebuchadnezzar, Ach el Sha'ol Turad el Yaksebad, you will end in Gehenim, you won't be successful in what you're trying to do. So we see that if it takes 500 years to get to the first Rikia and then to keep on traveling, it's not just going to be a distance of 6,000 parsa, as Rava said, to Yufta. Rava is refuted. There was a great story that the Klozer Magor Rebbe once said. The minig of his great-grandfather, the Divrei Chaim, Sanzerov, was that he did not allow people to see him, to talk to him, that he should daven for them before tefillah, before he would daven shacharis. And there was once an episode where there was somebody who was going on a trip to a distant area, and he was in a great rush, and he could not wait till the Divrei Chaim was going to daven shacharis and finish davening shacharis, and he wanted the opportunity to see the Rebbe before davening. So he sent a messenger to the Rebbe. He's going on a very far trip, and could the Rebbe please see him before he begins to daven? So the Rebbe said, I'm going on a further trip, because we just learned in our Gemara how far it is from the earth all the way to the top of the Zion Rikiyim. And every time he says a Jew davens HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need our tefillas to travel all the way up. So just like, so I am also going on a very, very long trip. Every time we daven, we need our tefillas to travel so very far, and that's why I can't see you before I daven. So on Amud Aleph, the Gemara mentioned the two mazalas, the mazala, the agla, and the akrif. And the Gemara, because the Gemara mentioned these mazalas, the Gemara goes off and discusses, as we mentioned at the beginning of the shir, the machlokes between the Chachmei Yisrael and the Chachmei Umas Ha'olam. Tana Rabbanan, Chachmei Yisrael Omrim, Galgal Klavua, that the world is fixed, the globe is fixed, Umazolus Chayzrim, and it's the Mazolus, the zodiacs, the constellations that revolve until they come back to their original place. The Chachmei Umas Ha'olam Omrim, that's the Galgal that's Chayzrim, it's the globe that travels, Umazolus Kavuim, and the zodiac remain firmly in the place. Amar Rebbe, Tshuva Devrayim, I will show that their opinion is wrong. For my oilam lemetzin egla b'dara of akrav b'tzofen. As we said before, the akrav is always on the north side, and the egla is always on the south side. Now, if these zodiacs travel, why would they always remain? Why would this always remain in the north? Why would the egla always be in the north, and the akrav always be in the darim? Ask the Gemara. That isn't a necessarily compelling proof. Maskler of Achab Yaakov, the Dilma Kubitzina de Rechaya, just like we find the mill. So the way the Mefarshim explained this Gemara, the mill had two stones, one on top of the other, and there was like a metal piece on top connecting these two stones. Now the stones constantly are turning, but the metal piece remains firmly in place. So too, it could stay firmly in place, even though it looks like they're turning. Inam Kitsur the Dasha. That's how a pivot on a door looks. The pivot of the door on a revolving door remains in its place, even though it looks like it's going round and round. Another machlokes. Chachmei Yisrael Omrim, B'yoyim Chama Malachas Lamatam Rikia. They would say that during the day, the sun goes below the Rikia, below the sky. B'layla, Lamalam Rikia, and at night it goes above the sky. In that they agreed that during the day the sun goes under the sky. However, Belaila, it goes Lamatam and Akarka. It goes below the world. Not above the sky, but below the world. Amar Rebbe, and Rebbe comments, Venirim Devraim Devraim, Midavrainu. I think that their opinion is the correct opinion. Why should we yom? Because we find that during the day, mayonis tzoninim, the wellsprings are cold. Or belaila, we see smoke coming out of the wellsprings. What is the smoke that's coming out of the wellsprings? That's the sun that's traveling under them, and it causes them to warm up, and the smoke should come out. And this is the makar. We discussed this already. Why, when we bake matzahs, we take mayim shalanu. We take water that was drawn out of the well before the night. Because as we just learned in our Gemara, the water in the well gets warmed up at night because the sun goes under those wells. You don't want to use warm water, hot water, for baking matzahs. And that's why they use water that was not in the well at night, that it should have heated up that would affect the matzah. Tanya Reb Nosson Omer, in the summer, the sun travels high in the sky. The entire world is hot. And because there's such a distance between the wells and the sun, the springs are cool. However, in the winter, the sun travels lower down in the sky. The entire world is cold, because the springs are hot, because the sun is much closer to them. The sun has four paths in which it travels over the course of the year. It travels through the mountains. That's when the snow that accumulated on the mountains melt. Tamas of the Elul Malachas B'Yishav, that's when it travels through the civilized inhabited part of the world. Kedei Levashel Saperis, the heat causes the crops to ripen. Tishrei Mecheshvim Kislev Malachas B'Yamim, it travels through the oceans, Kedei Liyabish Sonoris, to dry them out, that they shouldn't flood the world. Teveshvat Adam Malachas B'Midbar, Shloi Liyabish Zroyim, doesn't want to go in a place where there's crops growing, that it would affect them adversely, dry them out. So we go back to our Mishnah. And our Mishnah said that Rabbi Elazar, when he wants to discuss what is considered a derech rechayka or what is not considered a derech rechayka, Rabbi Elazar learned in our Mishnah, meskupis hazara l'chutz is already considered derech rechayka. So comments to Gemara immediately. If somebody's standing right outside the hazara, afgav the matzim ayil, it takes him one step to walk into the Azara, and he'll be there. V'loim rinan, yet the halacha doesn't require us to tell him, kum ayil. Ask the Gemara, v'tanya, but we learned in a brayse, Yehudi Orish Loimol, somebody who did not have a bris milah, and if he didn't have a bris milah, as we learned, he can't bring the Karm Pesach, onish karas to Rebbe Elazar, because Rebbe Elazar says, kum, we tell this person, make a bris milah. Because if you're not going to make a bris milah, you're not going to be able to bring a Karm Pesach. And if you're not going to be able to bring a Karm Pesach, you're going to be mechuyev karis. So why in our Mishnah doesn't Rebbe Elazar say, let this person step into the Azara in order they should bring the Karm Pesach? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Derech Rechayk L'Tah, V'ein Derech Rechayk L'Tameh. When the Torah spoke about the exemption for somebody who's B'Derech Rechayk, the Torah spoke about a person who's tar, who's b'derech rechayka. And there's a gzeiras hakasif, this is what the Rishonim explain, that anybody who's outside the Azara, even though it's very easy for him to just take one step, even though, and we're going to see that why we know that the Azara is the place in a moment, even though it takes one step, he doesn't have to do it. But when we speak about somebody who's Tameh, we speak about somebody who's an Oral, they are exempt because they can't eat from the Karm Pesach. By somebody who has that exemption, the Torah didn't say Derech Rechayka. And the Torah, on the contrary, expects him to be Metar himself or to have a Bris Milah in order to be able to bring the Karm Pesach and not be Chayef Karis. Rav Amar, Tanoihi. There's a machlokes Tanoim. If somebody's standing outside the Azara, is he have the Ptur of Derech Rechayka because he is outside the Azara? Or on the other hand, the fact that all he needs to do is take one step and walk into the Azara, we can't give him this dispensation. Tanya Rav Elazar Omer, Nema Richak Memach Mepesach. The Torah, as we've been learning, speaks about Derech Rechayka by the Karm Pesach. V'nema Richak Memach Memeiser. We know that halacha is that in the first and the second, and in the third and the fifth, in the fourth and the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, we have to take off Ma'aser Sheni. The Torah says that if you're supposed to take the Ma'aser Sheni to Yerushalayim and eat that produce in Yerushalayim. But if a person wants, he could redeem it where he lives, their formulas, and bring the money to Yerushalayim to buy food. And the Torah says, "V'kiyechak mimcha derech." If you live far away, the Nosat, the Kesef, be paid the Ma'aser Sheni and bring the money. When we speak about the Ma'aser Sheni, Ma'ala Halan, where is it considered? Chutz L'Chilosai. As long as you're outside of Yerushalayim, the Halach is you could be paid the Ma'aser Sheni. So we see that when we speak about what is the place, it depends on where you could eat. Afkan, when we speak about Richuk Mokoim by the Karban Pesach, it's Chutz L'chilosoi, outside of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Elazar says, as long as you're outside of Yerushalayim, that shita holds you derech rechayka. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, chutz l'tziyosoi, where we look at the place where you actually bring the carbon. And we know, of course, the carbonus are brought in the Azara. So we have a machlokes tanoim in the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. One mandama says that if you're outside the Azara, you could step in, and the other man says, as long as you're outside of the proper place, you're not mechuyif to step in. Ask the Gemara, command Azlahodam Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yitzchak, Tameim, when we speak about Tumeim, and we spoke extensively previously, Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, and most of Klal Yisrael is Tumei, then the Pesach Rishon can be brought with Tumah. Who is taken into that count? Says the Gemara. We go Holach Acharoiv Amudim Bezara. We look at the people who are standing the Azara. Says the Gemara, Kaman. Whose opinion is it that we follow who is exactly in the Azara? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Shem Hashem Rabbi Lezer, that says outside the Azara you considered Derech Rechaika. We learned in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yosef said that when we look in the Torah on the word Rechaika, there's a dat on top of the hay of Rechaika to teach us that even if you just not that far away, you're just outside of the Azara, you already considered Derech Rechaika. Tanya Rabbi Yosef Aglil Oima. There, the Torah says Derech Rechaika. Shemeni, I would think that who is considered B'Derech Rechaika? Somebody who's Mahalo Shnayim Shloshi Yomim, that is a distance that it will take him 2 or 3 days to get to Azara. Shoyimah B'Derech Lechaya, Magid, from, he says, B'Derech Lechaya, we learn Shafilim Echupas V'Zera Lechutz, even if you're not that far away, we are considered Derech Rechaika. And that Tzlach says that not only is it considered Derech Rechaika if you're outside the Azara, not only are the only people who we count are the people in the Azara, we look at the beginning of the Zman Shchitas Karmen Pesach. And if as the first group, as Reb Baruch Tam explains the Tzlach, says if the first group, we learned early in the Masech that the Karmen Pesach was born in three groups, if as the people from the first group enter the Azara to Shech the Karmen Pesach, and most people standing in the Azara, according to Rabbi Lezer, are Tamei, then that's considered a situation of Pesach HaBob B'Tumah, that the current Pesach Rishon can be brought even when Klal Yisrael is Tamei.